Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Promoting America's values and sovereignty.
I was elected to represent the citizens of Pittsburgh, not Paris.
Exposing the lies, exaggerations.
There are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
And propaganda of the loony left.
And when Donald Trump says to the world, well, we're going to negotiate a better deal. I mean, that's like O.J. Simpson saying he's going to go out and find the real killer.
This is the Vince Coakley Radio Program.
And it remains the Vince Coakley Program. Even though the hauntingly familiar voice is behind the microphone, fittingly, on this Throwback Thursday. You are somebody I've missed. Mercy, it's been about a month. And fittingly, as you have thunder reverberating through your radio, let's get to business, news and information. Severe thunderstorm warning for Cabarrus County, North Carolina. It's where my ditty is. And my little sister and her family, Mercy. Be careful in Cabarrus County. Also, Mecklenburg County, that means Charlotte. Southeastern Gaston County. Northwestern Union County. And you cross that state line, York County, South Carolina. This thunderstorm warning. In effect for, well, most of the show. Till 10:30 this morning. And if you are wondering, if you have not heard this voice, at least at this broadcast address before, allow me to introduce myself, but perhaps for you it's a reintroduction. It is the High Point native, proud NC State alum, who is really digging that win over Syracuse the other night, and, well, whatever happened to Chapel Hill at Wake Forest. Anyway, also the guy who ended up at Channel 4 in Greenville as sports anchor for half a decade. So with, metaphorically speaking, both my feet planted on either side of the state line, only in America could a guy like me abscond to Arizona, get elected to Congress, spend six terms there, and then return to broadcasting to be with you. Yes, the recovering Congressman J.D. Hayworth in for Vince today. And, this is a simulcast, WBT Charlotte, WORD Greenville Spartanburg. The folks listening in Charlotte, they go off at about a quarter till noon, and they listen to Bill O'Reilly. If you're with me on WORD exclusive upstate content fitting for Throwback Thursday, think of, the greatest wrestler of all time, that speech he gave impromptu. Was it a Lou Gehrig type thing? Anyway, flip over all the cards. Ric Flair and some of his greatest rants. Exclusive upstate content. As it's just you and me on WORD, if you're WBT, you'll get Bill O'Reilly, and I'm sure you will like that. Today, what do we got going? Plenty going on. The thunderstorm warning. We'll continue to stay with that and monitor that situation. So exercise appropriate caution. Also next hour, some of the fundraising appeals. South Carolina's senior senator, North Carolina's junior senator, and a couple of governors. Well, I misspeak. One gubernatorial hopeful in North Carolina and one former governor of South Carolina have been clogging up my email inbox with all sorts of appeals. And we'll talk about that next hour. This hour, the president and his plain-spoken ways that continue to infuriate the swamp and the swamp dwellers and most of the media, but not you and me. Speaking of that, if you hear me, as is my practice from time to time when I'm behind this mic for Vince, my old congressional colleague Gil Gutnet from Minnesota actually represented Rochester, the area where the Mayo Clinic or the Mayo Brothers got that all going on. Gil has, this past weekend, he put something together on last week and all that went on with the State of the Union that, well, it is, I think, his best work ever. From townhall.com, a heavy dose of sarcasm in the column from former Congressman Gil Gutnecht entitled, "Your Lying Eyes." Looks can be deceiving. As you watched the president deliver what may have been his best speech ever, you thought you saw Democrats acting like a pack of disrespectful juveniles. While President Trump recited a long list of economic successes, Democrats appeared to be wearing pained expressions on their normally cheery faces. They were unable to rise to their feet, let alone applaud in acknowledgement of the litany of great news for our nation. The self-described champions of free speech openly groaned as the man who reinvented talk radio was recognized for his contributions to our ongoing national debate. Some may think they were simply jealous of Rush Limbaugh's massive audience. After all, far more people listen to Rush than watch CNN and MSNBC combined. Maybe they don't welcome his contributions to the national discourse. As the First Lady fastened the Presidential Medal of Freedom around his neck, an unknown member of Congress could be heard shouting, "We love you, Rush!" While we don't know if that was a Republican or Democrat, we can be confident that it was not AOC. She was back in her office working hard, blogging her thoughts, such as they are, concerning the State of the Union. As the president recited the incredibly good news concerning minority and female employment, you may have seen a large contingent of Democratic women wearing white costumes, looking lost and forlorn, sitting on their hands, right? Well, permit me to offer a plausible explanation for some of this bizarre behavior. Bear in mind, the Iowa caucuses were held the night before. Whether they've announced publicly, members have favorite candidates, so most of them likely participated in an Iowa caucus results party. They stayed up very late expecting returns. Rumor has it that a party was hosted by the Hispanic caucus. Consider the possibility that someone overloaded the chili with too much jalapeno. Partygoers may have consumed one too many adult beverages as well. The grim faces we saw may have had more to do with severe stomach cramps than any disrespect for the president or a decorated 100-year-old Tuskegee Airman. Those of us who have felt that unmistakable gurgling in our lower tract can understand this. In deference to the close quarters, remaining glued to their seats was the prudent thing to do. So you see, those impolite Democrats you thought you saw staring blankly, refusing to acknowledge even the joy of the reunion of an Afghanistan vet with his young family, were likely suffering from sleep deprivation and acute gastritis. You might have looked a little cranky, too. Like objects in our rearview mirror, things may be different than they first appear. Some of the words of Gil Gutnecht. Now you're hearing the words of another recovering congressman, J.D. Hayworth, in for Vince Coakley. Back with more after this.
This is the Vince Coakley radio program.
We rode the storm out there on Thunder Island.
704-570-1110. For Metrolina, toll-free from any place, especially the upstate of South Carolina, 1-800-928-1110. Jay Ferguson from the late 70s with Thunder Island, which I kind of think is apropos, given the rain. Now, I might have, you know, suggested to the engineer that we get that right, but that's okay, because our skilled professional team is hard at work, ready to take your phone calls. That would be JM and CJ. They're ready. What a tag team. Why, we have not seen their likes in the Charlotte vicinity since the days of Skull Murphy and Brute Bernard. And Big Bill Ward on wrestling back then. Mercy. Well, I digress. As we wrestle, as we grapple with the battle of ideas and public policy, the president, who, by the way, as a private citizen, such as he was, as a billionaire, who did a star turn on WWE, stomping Vince McMahon in the head a few years back. You may recall that particular angle if you're still hip to TV graps, or what they now call entertainment. The president every day deals with reporters, and these reporters may not have even been on the planet when Sam Donaldson started the pattern of hectoring first President Carter and then President Reagan. And I even remember the Sunday morning show on ABC This Week with David Brinkley. One day old Fritz Hollins from down there in the low country, Ernest F. Fritz Hollings from South Carolina, who stayed the junior senator for so long with Strom there as his partner in the Senate. I remember that one day. Actually, Fritz had the best rejoinder to Sam Donaldson. They were talking free trade, and I guess that had to do with China. And Sam, in his way, "Oh, come now, Senator, who do you think made that suit?" And Fritz Hollings responds, "Oh, probably the same folks who made that rug on your head, Sam." But I digress. The whole thing, back in the day, Sam Donaldson was kind of an exception to the rule. But then after Reagan, you had President Bush, and as we have seen, really starting from the Nixon era, most of the reporters in Washington, D.C. are leftists. They'll deny it. They'll say they're independents, but they're oft-time partisans, and they seem to be stenographers for the Democrat National Committee. One guy from NBC, this is during the photo op yesterday when the president is welcoming the president of Ecuador. You see, I remember my four semesters of Spanish at NC State. The president of Ecuador is there. And so you will hear in the background the translator for the Ecuadorian president. But one of the reporters shouts at the president, and of course he starts with the observation of quote, some Republicans. In other words, the rhinos and the swamp dwellers who just wish the president would just be like that, if you know what I mean. So, I want you to hear an NBC reporter yelling at the president about what some Republicans think, and well, just listen to the question, I think you can hear it, and listen to the president in his element. Here he goes, cut one.
Some Republicans have said they hoped you would learn a lesson from impeachment. What lesson did you learn from impeachment?
That the Democrats are crooked, they've got a lot of crooked things going, that they're vicious, that they shouldn't have brought impeachment, and that my poll numbers are 10 points higher because of fake news like NBC, which reports the news very inaccurately, probably more inaccurately than CNN, if that's possible, MSDNC, and your MS, and if you take a look at NBC, no, I think they're among the most dishonest reporters of the news.
So you hear him. He gets in his 2 cents worth against the Democrats and against NBC. This president, and when I first saw him as president in person, he'd come out to Arizona, and he does like a 90-minute riff on how the press is it is not treating him well. And the old way of thinking politics, I'd go, yeah, but Mr. President, you're president now. And at that time, there was a Republican House, though Paul Ryan and the other swamp dwellers did their best to end that in 2018. And so I'm going, gee, let's talk about what it is you're going to do. Well, he does that and gets those things done and then gets back to wailing on the press. And now I just, and I think I've shared this with you before, as a guy who served in public office and was always told, now look, the left, they're going to send in elderly people who are going to shout at you and get in your face. You just got to smile and roll with it because there is a double standard. And the whole passive-aggressive nature, not so much of Bush 41, but definitely GW. Old GW, if you didn't believe his policy on open borders, you were restrictionist or xenophobe. The Bushes wouldn't fight back. This guy fights back. And you got to love the strategy. Before the Democrats' primary on Tuesday in New Hampshire, the president shows up Monday, and he rhetorically speaking, throws a rhetorical hand grenade into the lap of Nancy Pelosi. Cut two.
On Tuesday, I delivered my address on the State of the Union. And I had somebody behind me who was mumbling terribly, mumbling, mumbling, wah, wah, ho, ha. He was mumbling. Very distracting.
Very distracting. As some observer, well, I won't go there. It would be too scatological about certain undergarments. Anyway, that's the president's gift, a gift of invective. And speaking of Speaker Pelosi, suddenly she's loving New York Mike. Yeah, Bloomy, spread around all his dough, moving up in the polls for the Dems. And in North Carolina today, we'll talk about that and more. It's JD for Vince.
This is the Vince Coakley radio program.
As far as Michael Bloomberg is concerned, I think that his involvement in this campaign will be a positive one.
The Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, whatever cognitive challenges she has, apparently the jingle jangle of money, well, it just nothing so focuses the mind of the swamp folks like, or the swamp, dare I call them swamp rats, like somebody toting around a big old wallet and writing all sorts of checks to buy the presidency. That would be Michael Bloomberg, who has the now bankrupt McClatchy newspapers, including the Charlotte Disturber. The headline today, Michael Bloomberg returns to North Carolina Thursday with a new endorsement and rising polls. Well, this was even before we got word that Charlotte Mayor Vilaus is now with Bloomy's campaign. No, the Disturber was making much of Bev Perdue, the former governor, who rather than face electoral demise at the hands of our buddy Pat McCrory, decided, I'm one and done. So Bev is one of the co-chairs, and here is what, of course, Jim Morrill at the Disturber on bended knee gets a hold of former Governor Perdue. And I'm sorry, when I see Bev, and let me just say this, I acknowledge that when you see me, you think, gee, had the late Dan Blocker as Hoss had better hair, he might have looked like J.D., and I can go, I'm terrible sorry, Billy. I didn't mean to shoot you, Paul, or other inane lines from Bonanza. But having said that, now you see it's fair game to go into a little base deprecation of former Governor Perdue. I'm sorry, I'd see Bev up there, especially the Democrat convention, talking, quote, women's health. I didn't hear all her incendiary stuff, all the pro-abortion talk. All I saw, I just pictured Bev wearing a hairnet, like those hard-working ladies in the lunch line at school, or even if you are if you went to NC State and occasionally wandered over to Cameron Village to Ballantyne's, the cafeteria, there was a lady, and I realized that cat-eye glasses have kind of come back retro. They call it mid-century modern, or all that hoo-ha. But there was a lady there with cat-eyed glasses and her hairnet, and she would... She had an alternating kind of appeal. What can I help you with? Would you like a vegetable? What can I help you with? And I tell you, I think of Bev. So Bev is one of Bloomie's co-chairs. The other, Hugh McColl. And all I think of Hugh, and I think of, remember the whole angle in so many sitcoms, every sitcom would have like an amnesia episode. When one of the key members of the cast, either the star of the show or a key supporting role player, would get bonked on the head and they'd forget who they were. And then hilarity would ensue over the next 20 minutes as the person's memory was restored. That's what I think had to happen to Hugh after that. Remember all the hoo-ha? In fact, I saved it from 2017 Politico up in Washington. Hugh McColl's last great investment. And they're trying to set up Braxton Winston as if he's Barack Obama, the next Obama. And then I don't know if it was that or just, you know, the whole idea... Hugh may have gotten woke when Braxton went to that city council meeting and he's looking for a pay raise. Well, that's just counterintuitive to the way old Hugh ran the bank.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
And so maybe Hugh, that was after that city council meeting and Braxton making that base appeal for, hey, can't we get paid what the county commissioners make? Maybe that was the equivalent of just kind of waking up Hugh, and he said, well, now, Mr. Bloomberg certainly has vast funds, and just kind of an affinity for that. And so Hugh is the other co-chair of Bloomie's campaign. Now, what's interesting, as we know, the primary, as any good South Carolinian will tell you, in 2 weeks' time, there's the primary in the Palmetto State. What's interesting is Bloomberg, maybe he'll end up in South Carolina. Today in North Carolina, Eastern North Carolina, I think he's over in, as he used to say on a certain radio station in our capital city, Raleigh. And I don't know if he's going to Greensboro or somewhere else, but he's not going to Charlotte. Not going to be in Charlotte today, but he's going to be elsewhere in North Carolina. Yesterday, Mayor Bloomberg was in Chattanooga. I guess there was a big meeting of the NAACP. And so Bloomie gets up at that meeting, and he goes after Trump. And here's the way it sounded yesterday in Chattanooga, as Bloomie is the little engine with a whole bunch of money who really thinks he can chug right along. Cut four.
Even though Donald and I are both from New York, the truth is we could not be more different. In fact, I bill myself as the un-Trump. Just think about it, seriously. He breaks promises, I keep them. He divides people, I try to unite them. He's a climate denier. I'm an engineer. I actually believe in science. Imagine that.
Oh, that old bugaboo of the climate, y'all. And Mike's an engineer. Now, wait a minute, Mike. I didn't see you on the campus at State. An engineer, indeed. Well, and the president doesn't keep his promises. It seemed to me he's done a pretty good job with most of his promises, but that's campaign rhetoric. Closed circuit to JM, I'm calling an audible, which is fitting since these are auditory features. That's Bloomie yesterday to the NAACP. What's coming to bite Bloomie in his derriere are comments he made at the Aspen Institute back in 2015. Now, the quality of this, you need to listen closely, but basically, the mayor, back when he was mayor in 2015, forget all the stop and frisk stuff where he goes out and says, I was wrong because I got to court minority voters, and as an engineer, I can figure that out. No, this is Mike Bloomberg when he was mayor, and for all the world, boys and girls, it sounds to me like he is profiling. This is cut six.
95% of your murders and murderers and murder victims fit one MO. You can just take the description, Xerox it, and pass it out to all the cops. They are male minorities, 15 to 25. That's true in New York, it's true in virtually every city.
All right, we apologize. It seems as if it ran through the Xylon processor in the original Battlestar Galactica, if you're hip to that. But what Mike is saying, 95% of murder suspects or murder victims are basically African Americans, 15 to 25, some demographic group. And this is the guy who said, I'm sorry for stop and frisk. Oh, yeah, he's running as a Democrat, all right. Coming back with your phone calls and the president on the fellow billionaire Bloomie. I guess we could call it small talk. It's JD for Vince.
This is the Vince Coakley radio program.
Toll free from any place, especially the upstate of South Carolina, 1-800-928-1110. And for Charlotte and vicinity, 704-570-1110. The recovering congressman, J.D. Hayworth, in for Vince Coakley on the eponymously named Vince Coakley radio program. Let's go to Gastonia. Dan's been waiting patiently. Hi, hey, Dan. Welcome to the program.
Hey, J.D., I got a question for you.
Okay, sir.
If Adam Schiff is not reelected by his constituency in California, Do you think the rest of the Democrats next year will be aggravated at the fact that they're shiftless?
They're already shiftless, lazy, and without that's a great one, Dan. Not since the musings of Charlotte's Harry Golden have we had such a. That's a great, great point. You want to see the Democrats really shiftless. Now, that's all right, Dan, and you keep practicing, and we're going to get you up there at that Ramada Inn Lounge.
I'm working on my stand-up routine.
It's pretty good. That's a good start. So you think about some other lines, and we will we look forward to hearing from you again. Dan, thanks for the paper. Even include thank you, Dan, but there used to be today's chuckle. Remember that? Now you take a look at what's happened to newspapers, both in terms of their unremittingly left-leaning bilge, such as the Charlotte Disturber, the Raleigh Nudes and Disturber, and all the newspapers in the clutches of McClatchy, now bankrupt, now filing Chapter 11, and you just... Oh, well, that's that. Now, again, thanks to Dan. You may recall, if you, like me, listen to Rush Limbaugh, bless his heart, pray for Rush, man, with all that's going on with him. But you remember Rush would caution us, now, don't try to call and do comedy. Leave it to professionals, but Dan is off to a good start getting his monologue together. The other guy who is just funny is the president. I mean... and maybe you heard about back in the day when Reagan won the election, and I mean the networks called the race like at 8 o'clock Eastern in 1980. And so out west in California, it's only like 5 o'clock Pacific time. And the president-elect and Nancy are getting ready to go down. I guess it was Chasen's, used to be the hip joint in Hollywood for the glitterati. And who's there but Don Rickles? And... President-elect Reagan says to Don, he says, come on, Don, insult me. He said, you're the president. And Rickles was speechless. But as our disruptor-in-chief, and maybe it's just growing up in Queens and then heading over to the borough of Manhattan, President Trump, as a New Yorker, just has a gift for invective. For further evidence of it, I would refer you to that interview that Sean Hannity did with the president before the Super Bowl a couple of weeks back. And Sean's doing, hey, we got a word association. And he starts naming the Democrat candidates. And so finally, he says the name Mike Bloomberg. And here is how the president responds. This is Cut 5.
Very little. I just think of little. You know, now he wants a box for the debates to stand on. Okay, it's okay. There's nothing wrong. You can be short.
It's okay. It's okay. I got to work on the Trump thing. Some of them, like Clinton and George W., they come easy. But getting the president, President Trump's voice down is a little different. It's okay. You can be short. You can be little. And the whole thing, he so baited the press that they found out for the debate, yeah, Bloomy was going to be standing on a box. Trump, he just breaks all the rules of politics. And it is very, very, very entertaining. At least in my book. Speaking of the world of entertaining and entertainment, listener Joe on social media at Facebook, she writes in, I made mention of bearing an uncanny resemblance to Dan Blocker. She says, nah, JD, more like his son, Dirk. Well, Dirk is on that, what is it, that thing with, oh, golly, 99, you know, the precinct thing in New York. Gosh, I'm sorry. I'm pulling a Joe Biden this morning. But anyway, maybe I'll tell you the story of when Dirk Blocker and I both contemplated a role in Bonanza, The Next Generation. But for now, it's back to Gaston County at 704-570-1110. Here is Tom to talk about Mayor Bloomberg. Hiya, Tom.
Hey, JD, how you doing, my friend?
Doing great, thanks.
Yeah, I just want to say, as a Democrat, I am confused as to why some of these leaders are jumping on the bandwagon with Bloomberg. I have nothing against Bloomberg, but the bottom line is Joe Biden has been faithful to the Afro-American community and to the United States. And I don't know if what's going on. It's kind of confusing me because Joe Biden has been loyal. And I just think that if we're going to go up or down, we need to go up or down with the ship, and the ship being Joe Biden.
Well, Tom, I appreciate your opinion. I thank you very much for the call. There is Tom, solidly for Joe Biden. Hey, have you seen the ad they're running for South Carolina? It was that whole thing Hillary said, that letter from the lady, I ain't in no ways tired. Now Biden is quoting it in his new TV spot. And remember back in 88, Joe got in trouble for plagiarism? Ended his campaign then? Instead, now it's just kind of getting old. I'm sorry. The guy looks taxidermied. And he has lapses in memory. Don't forget to come back. Hour two is ahead. Stay tuned.
This is the Vince Coakley radio program.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.